In the beginning, the work is going to be hard, arduous. Because if you relax a little, the mind moves into old patterns immediately. It brings again the old miseries back. It creates the whole nonsense again and again. In the beginning, you have to be really strict. The night Buddha achieved enlightenment, he sat under the tree and he said that I will not rise from this tree again in my life if I don't attain enlightenment. Finished. He said, finished I am with doing anything for it. I am going to sit here. This tree is going to become my death. A total decision. Just meditate on it. And that very night, by the morning, he became enlightened. The desire should become so intense that you put all that you have at the stake. The passion to seek should be so total that not a single doubt is allowed to make you waver. The very intensity will bring truth. It can happen in a single moment. Just you need to become a total intensity of inner fire. The decision should be total. Arduous, of course, it is. But once everybody has to pass through that arduousness, one has to pay for truth, and there is no other way to pay for it. You have to put your whole being at the altar. That is the only sacrifice that is needed.
Hello, everybody out there listening to Osho Radio. Today we have a new program for you with wonderful music from the world of Osho and a discourse by Osho. We continue with the series The Search, in which Osho talks about the 10 Bulls of Zen. Today's lecture is lecture number 5, and you can download the whole discourse for free from oshoworld.com. In this discourse, Osho talks about awareness and inner discipline, how these two go together. In the first sutra, Catching the Bull, Osho talks about the whip and the rope. The whip is a symbol for awareness, and the rope is a symbol for inner discipline. Discipline is necessary to reach to awareness. If there's only awareness, your mind can go on playing many games with you. If there's only discipline, without awareness, the life energy may just dry up. So, awareness and discipline are both needed. In the sixth sutra, Taming the Bull, Osho talks about mastering the mind. If you master the mind will follow you like a shadow. But if you're not the master, you will have to follow the mind. He's also talking about the meaning of sannyas and the meaning of satsang, what it means to be in the presence of the master.
Inasahibi
the fifth sutra, the whip and rope are necessary, else he might stray off down some dusty road. Being well trained, he becomes naturally gentle, then unfettered, he obeys his master. Listen to every word as carefully as possible. The whip and rope are necessary. The whip is a symbol for awareness. And the rope is a symbol for inner discipline. Awareness and discipline are the most fundamental things for a seeker. If you discipline yourself without awareness, you will become a hypocrite. If you discipline yourself without awareness, you will become a zombie, a robot. You may not do harm to anybody. You may be known as a good man or even as a saint, but you will not be able to live your real life. You will not be able to celebrate it. There will be no delight in it. You will become too serious. The playfulness will be gone forever. And seriousness is a disease. If discipline is without awareness, then you will enforce it, and it will be a violence, a rape on your own being. It will not give you freedom, it will create more and more, bigger and bigger imprisonments. The discipline is right if it is based on awareness. The discipline goes completely wrong, becomes poisoned when it is done not with awareness, but by a blind, believing mind. So the first thing is the whip, the awareness. And the second thing is the rope, the discipline. What is the need of discipline? If you are aware, it seems awareness is enough. Eventually it is enough, but not in the beginning. Because the mind has deep patterns, and the energy tends to move from the old habits and old patterns. New channels have to be created. You may have become aware, but that itself will not be enough in the beginning. Because the mind, finding any opportunity to move in any old pattern, immediately slips. In a split second, it takes no time to become angry. By the time you become aware, already anger has fleshed. Later on, when your awareness has become total, that your awareness has become absolute with you, before anything happens, awareness is always there as a priori. If anger comes, before anger, awareness is there. If sexuality possesses you, before it, awareness is there. When awareness has become a natural, spontaneous thing, like breathing, even in your sleep it is there, then discipline can be discarded. But in the beginning, no. In the beginning, when awareness is settling, discipline will be helpful. Discipline simply is an effort to create new pathways for the energy to move, so it need not move in the old pathways. For many lives you have been continuously angry. The root is engraved. The moment you have energy, the energy automatically moves through anger. Hence, many religions prescribe fasting. If you are fasting, that means if you are starving yourself, you don't have enough energy. Food creates energy. If you don't have enough energy, then you cannot become angry. But weakness is not a transformation. It is again a deception. Many religions preach fasting so that you can overcome sex. Of course, if you fast too much and your body is starved, you will not have enough energy to move into sexuality. To move into sexuality, you have overflowing energy. You need overflowing energy, because sex is a luxury. When you have too much, then only it happens. When you don't have too much, it disappears on its own accord. But that is not true brahmacharya. You are deceiving yourself. Energy should be overflowing, but it should move in a different dimension, the dimension of love. But for that you will have to create a discipline. So when the energy arises, it moves in love, not in sex. It moves in compassion, not in passion. It moves in sharing, not in greed. Discipline is needed to create new pathways. So awareness and discipline should go together. There are people who insist that only awareness will do. In a way, they are right. But to get to that point of awareness where it is enough, where it is its own discipline, is very, very difficult. It rarely happens. Krishnamurti goes on saying that only awareness is enough. No discipline is needed. And he is logically right. But it doesn't happen that way. Life is very illogical. It doesn't listen to logic. So people have been listening to Krishnamurti for 40 years. And nothing has happened, because they think only awareness will do. But to get to that awareness, tremendous effort is needed, and that they cannot afford. In fact, Krishnamurti has become an escape for these people. So they can avoid discipline, and they can go on thinking that only awareness will do, and they go on living in their darkness. The peak never happens. Then there are others who go on saying that discipline is enough. No need for awareness. They also are talking of the other extreme. Discipline alone cannot be enough. Then the man who goes on enforcing discipline on himself becomes by and by a mechanical robot. I have heard about one saint who died, but he was forced to go to hell. He could not believe it. He asked that he would like to see God and ask him what wrong he has done. Because his whole life he was a one of the purest of men. And God said to him that you have never done anything bad. That's right. But you have never done anything good also. Because in the first place, you have never been there. You were just like a robot. A mechanism goes on doing something. It is neither good nor bad. The mechanism has no spirit, no soul in it. It simply goes on repeating. The repetition is dead. Repetition won't help. You can go and do your prayer every day. But only mind mechanism will be repeating it. You will not be in it. You can go on serving people, helping people, poor and the ill. But if you are just moving like a robot, if the discipline is all and there is no awareness in it, then you are like a computer. Your skill may be great, but you are not there. Many religions have been preaching just discipline, morality, good actions and good deeds. That has not helped the world. People have not become alert, alive through it. Both opposites are half and half. Zen says awareness and discipline both have to be followed together. A rhythm has to be created between these two opposites. One should start by the whip and one should end by the rope. The whip and rope are necessary, else he might stray off down some dusty road. The bull is well acquainted with many dusty roads. And if the whip and the rope are not applied, every possibility is that again the bull that you have caught will be lost. Being well trained, he becomes naturally gentle. Then unfettered, he obeys his master. Then there is no need for discipline. Then you have become a master. Training is needed, but training is not the goal. Training is just a means. Finally, one has to come out of training. One has to forget all discipline. If you have to continue in your discipline, that simply shows the discipline is yet not natural. In the beginning, you remain alert. You create new pathways for your mind energy. By and by, there is no need. By and by, even to remain alert is not needed. One is simply alert. Not that one tries to be alert. Only then is the flowering. When alertness is natural, when meditation is not to be done, but simply goes on happening, it has become your very climate. You live in it. You are it. Sixth Sutra. Mounting the bull, slowly I return homeward. The voice of my flute intones through the evening, measuring with handbeats the pulsating harmony. I direct the endless rhythm. Whoever hears this melody will join me. Mounting the bull, slowly I return homeward. If you are not the master, then you go away, far away from the home. If you are the master, you start coming back towards the original source. If you are not the master, then the energy moves away from you, towards things, persons, power, prestige, fame. The energy goes on moving away and away from you, towards the periphery. Once you are the master, the energy starts moving homeward. Kabir, one of the great Indian mystics, has said that the day I became enlightened, I saw Ganges flowing up current, flowing back to the source. He is right. The Ganges then no more goes towards the ocean. It goes back towards Gangotri, the origin from where it comes from, the Himalayas. If you are the master, the mind follows you like a shadow. If you are not a master, you have to follow the mind like a shadow. And mind means outgoing energy, and meditation means incoming energy. The same energy, just the direction is different. Mounting the bull, slowly I return homeward. The voice of my flute intones through the evening. And remember this, that if your search is not leading you towards more and more blissful states where you can sing and dance, then something is wrong. Then something is absolutely wrong. Then you are on some wrong path. Your blissfulness, your singing and dancing is the indication. It need not be extrovert. You need not sing so that others can hear it. But you will find the singing continuously there within yourself. If you like, you can sing and share. But there will be a dance inside you. The more you come nearer home, the more you feel happy. Happiness is a quality of energy returning back towards home. The voice of my flute intones through the evening. Measuring with hand beats the pulsating harmony, I direct the endless rhythm. Whoever hears this melody will join me. That's how millions have joined Buddha, Jesus, Krishna. Their song, their blissfulness, their ecstasy is infectious. Once you hear, you cannot do anything but to join. That's why people are afraid to hear. People are afraid to come in contact with somebody who can change their direction, their life. They avoid. They convince themselves that there is nothing to go. But their argumentation is nothing but a rationalization of a deep hidden fear. People behave as if they are blind and deaf. This is the cunning mind which goes on saying that don't move in this direction, there is danger. Danger for the mind, of course, but not for you. You will become for the first time masters of your being. But then you will have to allow somebody who has come to know to touch your heart and to give a rhythm to your heart, to allow so that he can share his harmony with you. In the East we call it satsang. It means to be in the presence of a master, to be in the harmony of the master, to fall in line with the master. The master is there. You simply sit around him, not doing anything. But by and by, you imbibe the climate, the milieu. By and by, the energy of the master goes on overflowing and you become open to it. By and by you relax and you don't resist and you don't fight and you start tasting and you start smelling something of the unknown, the flavor, the fragrance. The more you have the taste of it, the more trust arises. Just by being in the presence of an enlightened man, tremendous possibilities are open. Your potentialities starts functioning, working. You can feel the hum, the humming sound of the newness that comes to you. But it is a sharing of a song, a sharing of a dance, a sharing of a celebration. Remember this, let it be the criterion. If you are here with me and you become sad and long faces and serious, then something is wrong. You have misunderstood me. Your mind has misinterpreted me. If you are really here, vulnerable to me, open, then by and by you will see a song is bursting in you. You will feel walking is no more a walking. It is getting a quality of dance in it. The heart is not simply pumping the blood. Now it is beating a harmony. You will feel the orchestra of life in you. Then you are on the right path. Then you have not misinterpreted me. Then you have been imbibing me. That's the meaning of sannyas. A simple gesture on your part that you are available. Nothing else. Just a simple gesture that you are no more resisting me, that you will not fight with me, that you are not going to waste the time in fighting, that you drop all defense measures. That is the meaning of sannyas, that you are getting ready for satsang. That now I can shower on you and you will be ready to receive. It simply shows a receptivity. The voice of my flute intones through the evening, measuring the hand beats, the pulsating harmony. I direct the endless rhythm. Whoever hears this melody will join me. The same I say to you, whoever hears this melody will join me. Tatsabiturvaranyam Pargo devasya dhimahi
دیدم سنمی سر فدیر و جمالی افکنده به رخ سور جان موی سیاهی بشینم سر راهی با امید نگاهی بشینم سر راهی با امید نگاهی خدایا تو گواهی چه نغز است و چه خوب است و چه زیباست خدایا چه گرمیم چه گرمیم از اینش چه خورشید چه پنهان و چه پنهان و چه پیداست خدایا
A lot of beautiful music in this program. Before the discourse, you listened to Raji with the song You Opened My Eyes. Then there was Cyrus with an instrumental piece called Gina, and in the discourse, you heard part of a song from Itene Premal, Calma e Tranquilida. After the discourse, there was Akasha with the Gayatri Mantra, and you just listened to Dreamcatcher, played by Paramji and Manish Damore. We hope you liked the program today. Make sure you're with us again next time when we continue with the 10 Bulls of Zen. We're going to finish with a song by Milarepa and Narayani called Just Say Yes. Have a good time, take care, and Namaste.
Just say yes to love. Just say yes to life. Just say yes,
yes
to the laughter and the blessings of the Master. Just say yes.